Success in life requires that you remember just two simple rules. Rule number one is never quit. And rule number two is always remember rule number one. And that is the thought for today. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's audio, we listen in as Ed Milet talks with us about his rules for success in life and business. Enjoy.
There's this governor on our lives, and it is a governor, and it's your identity. It's this internal, it's what you think you're worth. It's what you think you deserve. We all know someone right now in our life, or we have, who's not ethical, who's not a good person, who's winning. And you're like, I can't believe they're getting it, right? Why can't I? I'm a good person. I treat people well. I'm honest. Here's the reason why. By the way, the unethical person, eventually karma, you reap what you sow, comes home to roost. But if you're a good person, this is so important people understand this. A good person in any endeavor will only take from it what they think they deserve, what they think they're worth. In other words, if there was a pizza here, you're a good person. You don't take all 12 pieces. Right. A good person thinks there should be an equitable distribution. Yeah. But long story short, what is that you a good person will not take more from the table of life than they think they're worth or they think they deserve. And so you have this governor on your identity. So what happens is it's like a thermostat. Our lives get going. We start doing really well. If we're a 75 degreer and our life gets to 85 and 90 degrees, unconsciously we go, we don't know we're doing it. We start to cool life back down to get it back to where we're comfortable. The reverse is also true. When things start to go really bad and you're broke and you're struggling, you find a way to heat your life back up to what you think you're worth and you deserve. So the way we alter our life is, sure, we got to alter our behavior and our relationships and our circumstances, but the only way it's permanent is that we alter that governor, that thermostat, and we start to believe we're worth 85 degrees of life, 95 degrees of life, 110 degrees of life. And there's ways we can alter that. A couple different ways. One is what you just said, is that you put yourself in circumstances that are demanding of you past what you think your capacity is, and when you succeed at them, you build a new water line. You do. You throw yourself out there past where you're comfortable, and you do an 85 degrees behavior, and you knock it out of the park, and you go, your brain starts to believe it. Repetitiously, when you start doing that, you build a new line. Now you're 85 degrees. That's number one. The second way, though, is association. If you're around people, and whatever that endeavor is, if it's a sport you're in, or if it's a business, or your faith, or your peace, if you begin to associate with people who live in that space at a higher temperature than you, through association, you get heated up. And so if you're an athlete, for example, you're a 70 degree athlete, and you start training all the time with 85 and 90 degrees, your identity through osmosis goes up. If you're a person who's trying to improve their faith in their life or their personal peace about them, you all know this. You've seen it. When you start to hang around people that are a little bit more peaceful than you or meditate a little bit more, through that association, over time, the thermostat changes in that area. And so it's both behaving in a certain way and then your association.
Most people's will to win is for sale. I can't be bought. Most people, if we gave you just enough money, if there's a certain dollar amount, you'd stop working hard.
Wow,
we give you a title,
that.
You stop working hard. We give you a car or a plane or a house.
That's right. And I decided once I realized that, because I watch it happen with people in their body and their finances and their family and their faith, whatever it is, I went, I'm not for sale. So there isn't a place you're going to buy me. You can't get me. There's not a stop, a place, a destination where you're going to get me to relent, to quit. I want to improve. That doesn't mean I don't struggle with my motivation from time to time.
Doesn't mean
I don't get confused or down. Of course I do, but I'm not for sale.
Yeah.
You can't buy me. Even guys in their 60s and they sold their company for blah, blah, blah. Now they golf 9 days a week. That's fun, but they're for sale. They were bought. You were for sale. I'm not for sale.
Everything in your life happens for you, not to you. I'm just a huge believer in that. And so my baseball dream ended. I had an injury, probably gave me a premature end to a career that would have ended anyways in hindsight, because I played with enough great players that I kind of know there was a gap in just God-given ability level, not work ethic. But I think to be the greatest, there has to be some proclivity for it and work ethic, right? And so I kind of maxed out my limited abilities. And so when I got released, I ended up moving back home with my parents. I couldn't find a job. I was depressed. I spent about a year at my parents' house, just broke in every way, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically. I remember my dad came home. My dad had just got sober. And my dad said to me, hey, I met this guy at a meeting. I got you a job. You get your ass down there tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. You're getting out of this house and getting a job. And I'm like, okay, I have a college degree. you know, I'm being picky for a year, watching Maury Povich reruns every day on TV and Jerry Springer. I go down there at 6 a.m. I walk in. I said, hey, my name's Eddie Mylett. I'm here for the job. They're like, what job? I remember this vividly, right? And I'm like, I don't know. They just told me you'd know. And they go, well, we have no idea who you are, and we don't know what the job is. They said, do you know who's hiring you? I said, I don't remember. And they go, well, then you need to come back. And I go to the door, and I go, wait a minute. His name's Tim. They're like, there's a lot of Tims. And I go, well, I know he must be an alcoholic because he was at a meeting with my dad last night. They go, oh, drunk Tim. We know Tim, right? And where I was a place called McKinley Home for Boys. It was a group home, a campus of group homes. All my boys were wards of the court. They were removed from their family either because their parents were incarcerated, killed, or were molesting them. And I ended up in Cottage 8. Cottage 8, I had 12 boys. They were 7 to 10 years old. And I walked through that door that morning, not even knowing what the job was, and it transformed my life. I mean, in an instant, brother. I just saw these eyes, these little boys, and they just wanted someone to love them and believe in them and care about them. And I'd have this big belief that people that go through any dysfunction in their family or abuse as a kid, I think our eyes are different. We just have these different eyes, man. And so I could connect with these guys. Mine wasn't as severe as theirs, but I knew what it was like to have that kind of anxiety and that kind of stress and that kind of pressure put on you as a little boy. And it changed my world, because in that instant, I went from being this athlete who was ego, recognition, significance, gonna get rich, it's all about me. All of a sudden, in that instant, it became about serving people, making a difference. I'm like, oh, this is what makes me happy. Oh, I was actually born to serve and help people. Crazy. No one, that never happened playing baseball. And while I worked there, 2 years into it, the financial business that I'm in came along. And I started in it part-time, and I was the rare young businessman who approached the business world from a place of service and giving and not making money. And ironically, the more I served people, the more I made a difference, the more I contributed, the more I was rewarded financially. I didn't do it for that reason, but that's what happened. So that's how I got into the business, was actually, and again, everything, my dad wasn't an alcoholic. He's not at that meeting. I don't get that job. And if it wasn't alcoholic, I wouldn't have connected with those boys. So all of that in hindsight happened for me, right? And had I met the financial business before that, I'd have flown out of it. I'd have been about ego, making money. And when that didn't happen, I'd have left. And so it all happened in the right sequence.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.